Our presentation today is entitled Lullabies, the Wisdom and Science of Soothing. And it's presented by our pastoral care minister, Mary Sue Roydeboek.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Mary Sue Roydeboek. My pronouns are she, her, hers. Author Whitney Johnson writes, "The song comes alive as night draws in. Hear it. Curl beneath the blanket. Slip between the fold of cradling arms in rooms across the world." To an audience of children, a hidden chorus of caregivers fills the night with song. They're singing lullabies. A lullaby is more than a song. It's a melody of love, a rhythm of tenderness, a demonstration of devotion. When I first took a look at lullabies in a cultural anthropology class, it was amazing to learn that the oldest known lullaby is a Babylonian lullaby inscribed on a clay tablet dating back around 4,000 years. They've been around a while. I was also intrigued to learn a few theories about the origins of the word lullaby. One that seems fairly intuitive is lull, as to soothe, and by, the classic farewell. Another theory that has been linked to the origin of the word lullaby comes from Hebrew folklore. Lilith is a character in Hebrew folklore who was said to steal children away in the night. And Lilith Abi literally translates to Lilith be gone. This theory aligns with the history of lullabies and nighttime prayers used as charms to ward off evil spirits. This was helpful to me as it offers some context for the emphasis on protection and guidance from cultures around the world. Without doubt, lullabies are an integral part of our human story. We inherit them and we pass them on. We carry lullabies across borders and make new ones along the way. They contain the traces of those who came before us, and they will carry traces of us long after we're gone. Within these songs, we express not just our greatest fears, but in the same breath, our hopes, our dreams. They are likely to be the first love songs children hear. Sung across borders, lullabies echo the histories of those who sing them. They typically hold the hope of a peaceful night and the promise of a new day to come. The poet William Stafford captures the hope of a new day when he writes, "The ordinary miracles begin. Somewhere a signal arrives now, and the rays come down. A tomorrow has come. Open your hands, lift them. Morning rings all the doorbells." For my friend Hannah, her lullaby was the nightly plea to Allah for a new day for her children. Our family has dear friends in Whitewater who first came to the U.S. as refugees from Kosovo. Hannah, the mother, once shared with me the story of lullabies she sang to her children in the refugee camp when they were exiled from their Kosovo home. Hannah's lullabies were gentle, sung prayers, bringing comfort and hope to her children, but to her, that they would see a new day and live safely within it. This one, translated from Albanian to English, says, "O guns that fly in the sky, do not strike the children. Allah, be tender and kind to these children. They want to see tomorrow and know the goodness in life." There are also lullabies where the melody might be rhythmic and comforting, like Hannah's, but the words are not. And to this point, I have another story to share. As many of you know, I worked in Montessori education for several years. I had an intern teacher working with me who was from Korea, and her area of focus was lullabies within cultural practices. One morning, she hosted an event where the children and parents shared the songs, their lullabies, that they sing and hear at night, and how this helps them fall asleep. Being in a college town, West Lafayette, Indiana, home to Purdue University, it was amazing and beautiful to hear the different songs and music described from many cultures throughout the world. One of the families, both parents and grandparents from the U.S., sang their evening lullaby. And you know it, so you can sing with me. The family sang, "Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come, baby, cradle and all." I looked at the confusion and a little shock in my intern's face, and she said, "The baby is left in a tree on a limb, and the baby falls from the tree, and you sing this to your children?" Although it was not a lullaby sung to me or one I sang to children, I was well aware of the melody and words, and I had never really given them much thought until that moment. Right after, I did a little research regarding the song's history. There are various theories about the song's origins, including one suggesting it was written by an English Mayflower colonist who observed Native American women rocking their babies in birch bark cradles suspended from the trees. Some historians believe the rhyme was written in response to King James II's conversion to Catholicism and the birth of his son in 1688, which many feared would lead to a Catholic dynasty in England. The final line, "Down will come baby, cradle and all," can be interpreted as a literal or metaphorical fall from a high place, suggesting a loss of status or a tragic end. The rhyme is believed to have first appeared in print sometime in the 1700s in a Mother Goose's melody as "Hush-a-bye, baby," at the start of the first line. By the late 1800s, everything I could find, "Rock-a-bye, baby" was a popular American lullaby ballad. Although the words are dark, the melody hits the mark in terms of a slow tempo, simple melody, and repetitive structure. Other familiar songs that are often considered lullabies are Christmas carols. I have a dear friend in my book group who sings "Silent Night" every night to her children. In fact, if we are out for dinner, she will excuse herself from the table, true story, and find a quiet space to call home and sing "Silent Night" to them. My friend shared with me that she does not sing this song or other Christmas carols to her children because of the Christian story. In fact, that has nothing to do with it for her. She explained they are songs she knew the words to. They are familiar. Also, their beautiful melody coupled with the wonder of a peaceful starry night like "Silent Night," "O Holy Night," "Away in a Manger" made for lovely lullabies. Now, these carols, lullabies, are part of her children's childhood, their stories, their rituals, their memories. Like many of you, we had an amazing, beautiful evening routine with our son, Jeremy. When he was a baby, I would sing, tell a story, and then sing again. If I changed the sequence, Jeremy would correct me, "No, Mama, you sing this next." Then after this simple ritual, he would hold my hand, and he was out. I felt like it was some kind of magic. My very active, talkative, busy child was within minutes asleep. Well, research does indicate it is probably more than magic. It is also science. Professor Tiffany Field of the Medical School at the University of Miami points out that lullabies are typically slow and rhythmical. This can help calm children's thoughts so they can lull themselves to sleep. Dr. Field did a study of toddlers and preschools taking naps in the university nursery. The teachers played classical music at the beginning of nap time. With the toddlers, there was a 35% faster sleep onset with the preschoolers, with the toddlers. But with the preschoolers, there was a 19% faster sleep onset. I am sure the teachers appreciated this research experience. But what about rocking or snuggling? According to Dr. Jade Wu, a behavioral sleep medicine psychologist who studied at Duke University, says snuggling a baby while singing a lullaby can also promote the release of the hormone oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, that Dr. Wu says promotes a sense of well-being, safety, and relaxation. Any calming music in the background can add a calming element to the bonding, but singing specifically can be helpful. Your body vibrates as you sing, which is soothing for the baby, just like a vibrating swing. Dr. Sam Mayer, who directs the music lab at the University of Auckland, has conducted research that indicates singing, white noise, back rubs can all have similar effects in the aid of helping to relax the child. But there is just something about lullabies, says Dr. Mayer. Dr. Mayer's team did a study where they played songs for infants in an unfamiliar language. Some of the songs were lullabies and some weren't. They found that listening to these lullabies, even though this language was not one that the baby heard or was exposed to, the infants relaxed more. Lullabies are connected not only thematically, but musically with rhythmic and mantra-like similarities. Let's try it. I invite you to sing this simple Swahili lullaby. The words will probably be unfamiliar, but pay attention to how the rhythm and the mantra qualities lull us. But don't fall asleep, I'm not done yet. The words mean the current is very strong. Row, row. Repeat after me. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Very nice. In the wisdom of the UU minister, Reverend Victoria Safford, she says, lullabies sound sweet and gentle, but they are potent. The way an incantation is potent, a magic spell, a prayer. Lullabies are often the effort to bring, to bear sufficient hope in scary times, sufficient love for the world, blessing this person suspended in the cradle of my arms or in my heart, but between the world of the ancestors and generations yet to come, and mindful then as now that every baby, every person, each of us is the exact fulcrum, the access, the hinge between past history and all that will come next. Today, says the poet, the ordinary miracles begin. hope starts over. We try again to get it right. Lullabies give voice to that. They're infused with all of your doubt, all of your fear, your outrage, your love, your convictions. It seems to me that lullabies are not just for childhood, but for a lifetime. This is not some magical age where we stop needing comfort, reassurance, lulling, and soothing. We need it always. I hope you will join me in reconnecting or starting a relationship with a lullaby. They are often the songs that whisper important pieces of our lives. They will surprise you. I invite you now to sing this song written by the late folk musician Lore Wyatt, who was a good friend of Pete Seeger's, titled Let It Be Your Lullaby. Let's sing together. I'll be excited to hear about your lullabies. Thank you.